Riley with William Bendix as Riley.
Washington, a group of the nation's top economists have been meeting day and night to solve the problem of inflation. After months of intensive study, these experts, men with international reputations, are forced to admit that they are baffled. But little do they know that 3,000 miles away in a modest California bungalow, a riveter of little education has succeeded where they have failed.
Hey, where are you?
What's the matter, Riley?
I got it licked.
Oh, what?
I got it licked. Inflation. You know what's the cause of inflation? High prices. And you know what happens when prices are high? We can't pay our bills. And do you know why we can't pay our bills? Because we haven't got enough money.
And you figured all that out by yourself?
Well, sure I did.
I thought maybe you had your friend Jim Gillis helping you.
I resent that, Peg. I don't need no help from Gillis. Anything that moron can think of, I can think of. Well, what are you laughing at? Wait till I finish. You see, the reason we don't have enough money is we don't have a system. We don't plan. I bring home a paycheck, you all swoop down on it. The end of the week, we're in a hole. Bring home another check, the next week, we're in another hole.
You're right about that.
Yeah, every week, we wind up in a hole. We ain't living like people, we're living like gophers.
And what do you propose to do about it?
We are going to live on a budget. Now, come here, I'll show you.
What are you doing with my jelly jars?
They were your jelly jars. Now they're our money jars.
Money jars? For what, Daddy?
Well, I got each one labeled, see? Insurance, telephone, electricity. This jar here is for clothes.
We put our clothes in that jar?
Junior, you learn by listening. So listen and I'll learn you. Every week I get my paycheck changed into silver. See, look, this whole sack. Hey.
Oh, Riley, this is crazy.
Oh, wait a minute. Watch how it works. Never see who's crazy. Now, I split the coins up and I put some money in each jar. Now, here's the insurance money. Here's for the telephone. Electricity. Cigars for me. Clothes for you, Peg.
Street dressed in that.
No, wait a minute. No, I ain't through yet. There, that ought to cover you up. Now, one more job. Entertainment and miscellaneous. Well, that's it. You see how neat it works out? Everything is taken care of. That is my new system.
Well, what about food and rent, Pop?
Food and rent?
Yeah, food and rent.
Why is it in every family there's always one white guy?
He's right. What about food and rent?
Well, it's easy. I'll just get two more jars.
But you haven't any more money.
Why is it in every family there's always two white guys? Gee, I thought I had this thing licked.
Oh, Riley, don't you see? Your salary just doesn't go far enough with prices the way they are.
Well, then I'll ask the boss for a raise.
Well, now you're talking sense.
Yeah, sure. I should have done it long ago. I deserve a raise. I'll do it.
Attaboy, Pop.
Yes, sir. Tomorrow morning, I'm walking into the boss's office, and I'll say, Stevenson, you ungrate. I've been working for you for 10 years, and what have I got to show for it? 59 measly bucks a week. I can't live on that. I don't even have any personal spending money. Why, every week when I go out and play poker with the gang, do you know what I have to do, Stevenson? I borrow money from underneath the linoleum in the kitchen where my wife's been hiding it. She don't know I've been doing it for years, so... I mean...
Oh,
I mean,
you have,
no,
have you?
No, no. No, I haven't. I mean... Junior, get another jar, a big one.
What for?
For my head. I think it's time I stopped using it.
You're kidding. You're going to ask the big boss for a raise?
Well, why not, Gillis? I'm due for a promotion. I've been holding this riveting job since before the war. 8 years. All I've done is rivet, rivet, rivet. And I read in a magazine once where a doctor said the vibration of riveting affects the noodle. And 10 years of it will make a man punch drunk.
So what are you worrying about? You still got 2 years to go.
Well, I got to make progress. Besides, I can't back out now. I already sent in word I wanted to see the boss.
Hey, you'll never get to see him. And a good thing, too. You ask him for a raise, he'll get sore and fire you.
Fire me? Not Stevenson. Why, him and me are like that. You remember when I had that fight with the foreman? He took my side. I heard him say to the foreman, Hawkins, if we're going to get any work done in this plant, you got to lay off Riley.
Oh, you didn't hear good. What he said was, if we're going to get any work done in this plant, lay Riley off.
Yeah, you're just jealous, because...
Attention, Chester Riley, report to Mr. Stevenson's office. Riley, report to Mr. Stevenson's office.
You hear that, Gillis? And you said I wouldn't get in to see him. Well, this goes to show you. Well, here I go, and I'll get that raise or else.
You ain't got the guts.
Oh, no. Well, you tell the boys to listen to that loudspeaker. After I see Mr. Stevenson, I'm getting on that microphone, and I'm announcing my promotion for the whole plant to hear.
We'll be listening, Riley.
And Gillis, tell the boys that they shouldn't worry about my attitude when I get my promotion, because becoming a boss ain't going to change me one bit.
Oh, they'll be glad to hear that. I'll tell them right away.
Tell them on your lunch hour. Don't be wasting company time. Well, here I am, Millie.
Oh, I'll go right in, Riley. He's waiting for you.
Say, Millie, keep that loudspeaker warmed up, because when I come out, I'm going to have a very important announcement to make. Oh, hi, boss.
Oh, it's you, Riley. Come in.
Boss, I've been with you now for 8 years.
Riley, I've got a job for you.
Boss, you mean... Hey, this was a cinch. I didn't even have
to... You know, we're starting production of the new BX-1 jet plane. I'm going to need every man in this plant. I'm up to my ears with conferences, so you've got to handle this for me.
Oh, well, you can count on me, Chief.
Now, go to this address here and ask them to... Wait a minute. Where's that design now?
Boss, you're trusting me with the design of...
There you are. Ask them if this design is right. Now, don't lose it.
Oh, don't worry, boss. I'll guard it with my life. And to play safe, I'll memorize it right now. Now, let's see. Knit one, purl two, slip one, purl three. Boss, since when are we knitting jet planes?
What are you talking about, Riley? My wife is knitting a sweater, and she asked me to drop in at the knit shop and check this design. I forgot this morning, so I...
So you want me to go to a knit shop?
Well, I told you, Riley, I need every man on this BX-1 job. You're the only one on the planet I can spare.
But I... You said the design... I thought you called me in for a promotion.
Riley, I have no time for jokes. Now, go on. I'm busy.
Sending me to a knit shop for his wife. I wouldn't even do it for my own wife. 8 years I slaved for him. How could he do this to me? How could he?
Oh, Riley, the loudspeaker's on. Are you ready with that announcement?
Huh?
The announcement.
Oh, you bet I got an announcement. Give me that mic.
Here.
Attention, men. This is Riley speaking. I have an announcement to make. We're all working for a money-grubbing, no-good heel. He's an ungrateful diary.
Have you gone crazy? Turn that thing off, Millie. Riley, I ought to fire you for this. If it weren't for the fact that you've been with me since I started, I would. And I let you off easy. Get on that loudspeaker and apologize.
Apologize? I don't apologize to nobody.
Either you apologize or you're fired.
Hand me that mic. Attention, men. This is Riley again. A minute ago, I said we were working for a money-grubbing, no-good heel. I was wrong.
Well, that's better.
We're not working for a money-grubbing heel. You're working for a money-grubbing heel. I just quit. And then Peggy said to me, either you get down on your knees and apologize or you're fired. So what could I do?
You apologize?
No, I quit.
You what? Oh, Jerry.
After all, I got my pride.
But, Riley, you can't eat pride.
A man's got to keep his self-respect. And before I'd apologize to him, Peg, I'd rather see you begging in the streets. That's the kind of a man I am.
That a boy, Pa.
Let this be a lesson to you, son. This is what makes this country of ours great. When the boss gets out of line, you up and quit.
So you quit? What did you prove?
Equality, that's what I proved. That I'm just as good as that no-good heel. And don't worry, nobody. Till I land something, we'll take money out of the bank.
But we haven't got a bank account, Daddy.
I meant Junior's piggy bank.
Well, he emptied it last week.
Now, look, will you stop worrying? This is my problem. I'll get another job.
Well, I can get a job part-time, Daddy.
Yeah, so can I, Pop. I know what it's a job.
Nothing doing. No kid of mine is going to work. I got my pride. Before I'd let you go to work to support me, I'd rather see you kids begging in the street.
Oh, now you got the kids begging. And we haven't even got enough money to buy tin cups.
Now, Peg, I tell you, I'll get a job just like that.
Well, but the other day you said a lot of riveters are out of work.
Oh, I'm through riveting. And I ain't making the same mistake I made years ago, starting at the bottom. No, sir. This time I'm starting at the top as an executive. I've got what it takes to fill a swivel chair.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Briley's the name, Chester A. For a limited time only, I am considering office for the position of general manager from business concerns in good financial standing.
I see.
You mind if I take a look at your books?
Oh, the books. Just a minute. I'll call Mr. Jenkins.
Well, let's make it fast, my good man.
Oh, this won't take long. Jenkins, throw this nut out.
How do you do, miss? I see by this ad here that your firm is looking for an assistant manager. Neat, capable, experienced, intelligent, male.
Well?
Well, I'm a male. I understand you have an opening for a supervisor, sir. I understand you have an opening for an assistant shipping clerk. Please, sir, is the job still open for janitor? Believe me, sir, I can do this job perfect. I'll make good. I got the education and I got the experience. Believe me, I'll make a great errand boy.
Well, you're ambitious anyway. You'll do. Wait here and I'll go and tell Mr. Babson.
Matthews?
Oh, yes, Mr. Babson.
That errand boy job is filled.
Filled?
Yes, here's the young man I hired.
Junior!
Pop!
My own flesh and blood. How could you do this to me?
Yeah, but
taking the bread out of your own father's mouth. Me, your own father, the man who gave birth to you.
But
so help me, the doctor who brought you into this world is going to wait a long time for his money.
Back to the life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. All week, Riley has been hunting desperately for a job, any job, but without success. And every day around 5 o'clock, you can see him plodding wearily home, his shoulders drooping sadly, his face shrouded in gloom. It's almost five now. He's due to turn the corner. Yes, here he comes. But wait a minute. What's happened? This is the new Riley. Just look at him, spreading gaily down the street, a happy grin on his face.
Hey,
Riley, wait a minute. What's the rush?
Phyllis, congratulate me. Today I got my self-respect back again. Today I can take my place back as the head of the family.
Oh, you got your unemployment check.
No, I got a job, $100 a week, with Continental Oil. Look, here's the contract.
Riley, you took one of them oil jobs?
Yeah.
But you better go to Arabia for 10 years. You're leaving your family?
Well, just for a while, till I save up enough money to bring them over. I figure I'll have enough in a year.
Oh, yeah, huh?
Yeah.
Riley, what do you know about Arabia?
There's Arabs there, and Arabs...
Just like I thought. You don't know the first thing about it. Did you ever hear of the Arabian Nights?
What about them?
They drive men to madness. All day long, the desert heat suffocates you, and then comes the night.
Well, I stay in night.
You can't. You lie there in your miserable little tent, and the loneliness gets in your blood. Something roars you.
Where? Where?
The Casbah.
No, not the Casbah.
The Casbah. Soft light, incense, exotic drink, gorgeous, alluring, sensual women.
No, Peg wouldn't let me take you halfway across the world. You can't help yourself.
I'll fight against it. It's stronger than you are. You go with me. You take a drink.
No.
Then another drink. And another.
Oh, Gillis, I hate myself.
You can't help yourself.
I'll send for Peg. She'll make me stop.
You can't send for her. You're broke. You drunk up a whole year's salary.
Oh, this is terrible.
Wait, it gets worse. Peg can't come. You can't go to Peg. You're going mad with loneliness.
Oh, Gillis, what'll I do?
You do what everybody else does. You take a wife.
No. That's bigamy. That's illegal.
Not in Arabia. Another year goes by. What happens?
I send for Peg.
Yeah, you're broker than ever. So you take another wife. Now you got three wives.
Three. No. Bigamy, yes, but trigonometry, never.
Stronger than you are. Another year, you're still broke. Another wife.
That's four wives.
But you're still lonely. You take another wife.
Five.
Another.
Six.
Another.
Seven.
And still another, and another, and another. Before you know it, you got 12 wives.
A round dozen.
Yeah. And them Arabian dames is plenty around.
But what'll I do with 12 wives?
You put them in a harem. You ain't Chester Riley anymore. You're Pasha O'Reilly.
Oh, this is horrible.
Wait, it gets worse. Peg gets tired of waiting. She hears rumors about your wife. Some rat tips her off.
Who? Me.
She scrapes to get her money enough out of her wages as a scrub woman and takes the faithboat to her area.
At last.
There you are on the dock waiting for her, you and your 12 wives. She comes down the gangplank, her arms stretched out towards you, crying, Riley, kiss me. What can you say to her?
The line forms on the right.
I'm late, Ryan.
Oh, Peggy, you should have come sooner. I got 12 wives.
What? What are you talking about?
I got... I didn't tell you. I got a job. I'm going to Arabia. Oil.
Arabia?
Yeah, oil. I'll send for you in a year. I have to go first.
I'll tell you where you're going. You're going to Mr. Stevenson and apologize and get your job back. You've been acting like a child.
No, I won't apologize. Rather than do that, I'll go to Arabia and suffer with 12 wives.
Are you out of your mind?
Ray, she's right. You stay here.
Let me go to Arabia and suffer. Well, I think I got everything packed now. Oh, Peg, hand me that pair of socks.
Riley, I won't let you do this. I just won't.
Don't be brave, Peg. It's the only thing. I can't let you and the kids starve.
You can apologize to Mr. Stevenson. I called him up and
you have no right to do that. I'm telling you for the last time, I'm the kind of a guy, I do what I please and I say what I please and I don't apologize to nobody.
Now, just a minute. Don't you raise your voice.
I apologize. But not to Stevenson. If he wants me back, you'll have to apologize to me.
Oh, but Riley...
Hey, if you're going to come to the dock, you better get ready.
Oh, what's the use? I give up.
Women. No guts. Always willing to apologize. They don't understand. If I apologize now, all my friends will look down on me.
Not me. I'll be the last one to look down on you.
Oh, it's you.
Yes, it is I. Digby O'Dell, the friendly undertaker.
Oh, hello, Digger. I didn't hear you come in.
I wouldn't worry about it. As long as you can hear me when I go out. Riley, is it true you've lost your job?
Yeah, and I can't find another. So now I'm going away. I'm going to bury myself in Arabia.
Why go to Arabia? Stay here and let me help you. I'll lend you money till you land something. You know me. When a friend of mine is flat, I always carry him.
Oh, I don't like to borrow money from friends.
Then let me recommend you to the UEPHHS.
UEPHHS?
The Undertakers, Embalmers, and Fallbearers Helping Hands Society. Our motto is, dig down deep and put a body on his feet.
No, Digger, I gotta take this oil job in Arabia.
Riley, why don't you come and work for me?
Well, that's nice of you, Digger, but what could I do in your business?
Well, you could... No, you couldn't do that. See, you could... No, you couldn't do that either. I guess you're right. You'd be just so much dead weight, and I have another batch already. Couldn't you get your old job back?
Well, not unless I apologize.
Then apologize.
No, I ain't apologizing. I got my pride.
Riley, I implore you.
Digger, I can't stand around here arguing. My boat leaves in an hour.
Oh, Riley, you and your foolish pride. But have it your way. Go to this molten desert and drill for oil. But I'm warning you, no good can come of it. Someday your epitaph may read, here lies Riley in Arabian soil, 6 feet down, floating in oil. He's lying here now on account of his pride. Between the heat and the oil, Riley's French fried. Cheerio, I'd better be shoveling off. Thank you.
All ashore, that's going ashore.
Peg, you and the kid.
Oh, what did you say, dear? I couldn't hear you on account of the whistle.
I said you and the kids better go ashore now.
Oh, yes, I guess we better.
Well, goodbye, Peggy. I'll send for you as soon as I can.
Goodbye, dear.
Goodbye.
Oh, Riley.
Now, don't cry, Peggy. I can't stand people who cry when they say goodbye. Goodbye, Junior.
Goodbye, Pop.
Don't cry, son. You're a big boy now. Goodbye, Betsy.
Oh, Dad.
No, don't cry, Dad. Junior, Peg, stop crying. Remember, us Riley's never cried. Now, please stop crying. I want to take my last look at you while you're all smiling. That's more like it. Smile. That's it. A great, big, happy smile. Now, let me look at you. I better go below now.
We still have a few minutes.
I know, but it's better this way. Goodbye.
Oh, dear.
Goodbye, dear.
Goodbye. Oh, Mother, I can't believe he's actually going.
Oh, he doesn't want to go. It's just that foolish card of his.
Well, we better get off the boat.
Hey, Mom. Mom, look, coming up the gangplank. Isn't that Mr. Stevenson?
Oh, yes, it is. Oh, Mr. Stevenson. Mr. Stevenson.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Riley. Where's your husband?
Well, Mr. Stevenson, what are you doing here?
I came down here to tell that pig-headed husband of yours exactly what I think of him for running out on his wife and family this way. Arabia. All I want him to do is make a simple little apology so I can maintain a little discipline in my plan. But Mr. Riley is too proud. He'd rather desert his family and go to Arabia. Well, he can go, but not before I give him a piece of my mind. Where is he?
Well, I think I see him over there. I'll go get him. Hey, Pop. Hey, Pop.
Junior, you still here?
Yeah, Pop, Mr. Stevenson's here.
Mr. Stevenson?
Yeah, he came down to...
He came to apologize. I knew he couldn't get along without me. Where is he?
Yeah, but Pop.
I knew he'd come crawling to me if I held out long enough.
Yeah, but Pop.
Let me be a lesson to you, son. How to handle the boy. Be independent. Act big.
But Mr. Stevenson...
Ah, there he is.
There's Riley now.
Well, Stevenson, what have you got to say for yourself?
Riley, when I heard that you were leaving your family, I came down here to tell you... He's a stubborn jackass. And as far as I'm concerned... So a pig-headed fool. And furthermore...
Oh, that's enough, boys. As long as you admit you're a stubborn jackass and a pig-headed fool, I accept your apology.
What? You accept my apology?
Why, sure. Boss, I can be big about these things. Well, let's go home, Peg. Arabia's loss is Stevenson's gain.
But Riley, I came here to... I told you...
That's all right, boss. We all make mistakes.
I said you were... I told you.
I forgive you. Now, let's forget all about it. Just pick up my bag, Darren. Follow me.
I told you I what a revolting development this is.
Sure, that's what I always say.
The Rileys will return in just a moment.
You don't mean it. Stevenson didn't apologize?
No, Riley. He was bawling you out. Only you didn't hear him on account of the whistle.
Oh.
You're lucky he's taking you back.
After what I said. Peg, I can't understand it. After all the things I've done to Stevenson in the 8 years I've been with him, and he never fired me.
Well, look at all the things you did to me in the 20 years you've been with me, and I never fired you either.
Well, you got a different reason. I'm irresistible. Take me, Douglas.
Start us again next week to hear The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Mrs. Riley's follow-in flow, Digger O'Dell is John Brown.
The Life of Riley is produced and directed by Irving Bracker.